Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Hi, Rashida.
Hey, Lauren. How are you, friend?
I'm so happy to be recording with you today because it's been a couple weeks.
It has. And
they don't
last
know that
week
at
was
home.
Totally my
I know. And I was going to just put myself out there.
Y'all, last week was totally my fault. I slept in like till almost noon. And so, yeah. So Lauren and I didn't get to hang out like we usually do, but it's cool. I'm so excited to be here and be recording with you and chit-chatting. We've already been talking for what, like an hour almost?
Yeah, pretty much. Catching up. And yeah, it was funny because you were on vacation, but I was like, I'm pretty sure she said we can still record. And I'm sitting here waiting for you to come on. And after a few minutes, I'm like, oh, whatever. I get off. And you call me and you're like, oh, I just woke up. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous.
You did. You said, good for you.
Like, you get that sleep.
Yes. Well, I did not have the kiddos, so that made it really easy. And then you get blackout curtains. Man, just, yeah. So
that sounds luxurious.
It was so good. It was so good. It's so funny. It's like when we're younger, we care not about the amount of sleep. And the older we get, and then when you add kids on top of that, sleep is just such a precious commodity.
Yeah, give it to me. All right. I think we'll jump right into our content today.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so this is a follow-up episode. We did one a while back about, I don't remember what it's called, but it's about getting out of a funk. And we talked about kind of tending to the root chakra to get yourself to a more healthy, connected space. And today we're going to get back to that and we're going to travel up to the sacral chakra and talk about if you really like, this is what we're talking about when we talk about embodiment, like how do we embody different qualities of these chakras to be in a space that feels happy, healthy, and connected. So even if you feel good, these are great practices. But if you are feeling a little stuck, maybe mildly depressed, something like that, I would definitely go back to the root practices. And then this is kind of the next step up from those. So we build the foundation with the root, and then we come up to like this deep connection with others, really. So sacral chakra, located just below the navel, kind of in the womb space for people with wombs. This is all about connection, sensuality, pleasure and joy. It's about creativity, fertility, connection with our cyclical natures. So this is our beautiful center for, yeah, mostly creativity and sensuality and connection. So if I'm feeling in a funk, which happens time to time, I make sure I'm taking care of my body and all that from the root. And then we go up to the sacral. So this is six different practices, different ways to connect with the sacral to feel better. So should we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the first one is what we just did, which is connect with a good friend. So I know for me, if I'm feeling overwhelmed sometimes or in a funk, I self-isolate. I don't do it really that consciously. But I've always been kind of this hyper-independent, and I have this independent person, and I kind of like have this I can do it on my own mentality, which has like served me sometimes, but also has not been so great at others, because we need each other. We need help So this one I put number one just because connecting with a friend can really like shift your energy fast. And when I say a friend, I definitely mean the kind of friend who has your best interest at heart, who will like accept wherever you're at, and who just gets you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally feel that. Being very mindful of the friend that you choose, and just to, you know, put it out there, I feel like we all have that one friend that no matter what, it kind of is about them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And we love them for it. But you are absolutely correct when it comes to, especially when you're feeling that need to like fill that tank up a little bit, is having that friend that one, you know, can listen and hear, that they're not going to try to fix anything. Mm-hmm. Cause sometimes just having the ability just to let go of someone you trust and care about really, really helps. So I really feel this, like even after our little chat this morning, like I feel so much better. And you're right. I have a tendency to isolate as well. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. Like in my early 20s, like I would just like fall off. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like wanting to talk to anybody. And part of it was like denial and, you know, like not really wanting to like see the bigger picture. But I do see that where this can be really, really nourishing, you know, for this particular chakra center, but also like for your soul too. Like that connection is everything. It lets you remember you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to add something to this too, because you're talking about early 20s, like in my early 20s and probably all through my 20s, connecting with a friend was like one of the easiest things in the world. Cause like maybe I worked with my friends and then we would just like naturally go out afterward, or mm-hmm. I don't know. There was just always a reason to like be near them. And now as adults and as parents with like, you know, so much going on in our lives, like you have to get a date on the calendar. That's imperative. So I have like two really great friends and their husbands, and this summer it's been a little harder, but typically we have a date on the calendar once a month where we all get together, and like before that get together ends, we put the next date on the calendar just so it's always there and it doesn't just like pass us by. Yeah. So whether it's putting a date on the calendar to like get together or to chat, or even if it's a quick text, basically just getting out of your own like energy can make such a difference and can like start that momentum toward feeling connected to someone that you care about. So that's number one. Should we go to number two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Number two is connect with sensuality and pleasure. So we've talked a little bit about this in different episodes, especially when we've been doing readings. I know this is something mm-hmm. you are able to encourage, inhaling the sacral. So when I say this, like, can it mean sex or self-pleasure? Absolutely. It can mean that, but it also means like being present to your senses and deriving pleasure from whatever's around you. So it might mean really tasting your food. Like how many times, especially when you're in a funk, do you just like make whatever and eat it? And it's, yeah.
Yeah. You don't even remember what it tastes like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, you know, my heirloom tomatoes have been coming up lately and they're like ripening one at a time. And I've been like eating one every day and just trying to like really be present with it, because I put a lot of hard work into those. They're also like one of my favorite foods. So instead of just like wolfing it down while watching TV or something like that, I want to like slow down and taste it and enjoy it. Also like listening to music, right? Like, instead of just having it in the background, it's like, okay, I'm going to pause and actually listen to this song and enjoy it and feel it. And if it does come to sex or sexuality in some way, it's like, same thing. Are you rushing through it? Are you just kind of going through your routine, or are you like actually feeling what's happening and deriving pleasure from it, you know, beyond just getting off.
Yeah. I think that is always the, like, the big one for me is, especially when it comes to like sex or even self-pleasure, sometimes we get in a space where we're just like, all right, this needs to get done. We just have, like, it just needs to get done. And that's okay too. But if you're always in that space, like you, okay, I'm just going to say this, you do get off, but you almost lose sight of what you're building up to, if that makes sense. And really like having those feelings within your body. Same thing with your self-pleasure practices. But also too, like back to your point of what you were saying, I feel like this particular, like the sensuality and pleasure piece of the sacral chakra is really like how we drop into our body. It's really the embodiment of what we enjoy. And you can go back to it using like the five senses. That's what I like to do personally, is, you know, find something that just feels good when you touch it. You know, what is something pleasant that you really like to see? And why is it? Why does that, you know, why does that make you feel good? What does it evoke inside of you? You know, a sound, you know, what music or what sounds, or, you know, do you go to a certain park or a certain place that, you know, just really brings you and makes you feel so good? You know what I mean? Like just all of the different senses, I think, is a really way for us to ground into that. I know typically when we think of the grounding, it's the root chakra, but also with the sacral, I believe, you know, if we use these senses and really like, it almost boils down to like really just being present within our bodies. Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In any of this is just like having the awareness of presence to really allow these things to evoke that pleasure within inside of you.
I'll add, like, it's totally fine to just start really small for this too. I know that a lot of people are kind of divorced from their bodies because of trauma, and it just feels like safer to be a little less connected. So you don't have to go for like tantric sex or something like that to start off. Like, mm-hmm. It can just be like, I'm going to taste my food, or I'm going to stand on the earth and really like feel the different parts of my foot on the earth. Like it doesn't have to be this big thing. It's okay to start small and to like develop that sense of safety and trust in your body.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Lauren. And I don't think that it will have the same effect if you don't start small. Like if you're bypassing what you're feeling within your body and then you want to jump into, oh, maybe this is going to help me or fix me, you know, this course or this tantra, whatever, it's, you haven't gone back to the root yet. And I think that's where, if you start at the root, some of these things will come up to kind of help as well.
I agree. You know, I've had a tangent for just a second.
Sure.
In that, I feel like there's such a trend in the spirituality world right now for embodiment, which is awesome, but there is such like a emphasis on sexuality and sensuality, which I think can be a really positive thing. But I also think like a lot of people come to spirituality because they're feeling hurt or broken, or they are in need of healing in some way or another. And I think sometimes this like fixation on sexuality, maybe on like the sexual aspects of the tantra, on pleasure, almost like bypasses in a way. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
The like smaller, more effective practices that someone might need to actually feel safe to be embodied. And they might be like throwing themselves into extra sexual situations without actually like feeling ready for it, whether they know it or not, or where it doesn't feel so safe. And then I think people get like really taken advantage of a lot of times in those situations too, because they're not in a space of like autonomy and self-trust. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. We were talking a little while ago, like this is just like a vague memory. I'm like trying to pull the pieces back, but you were telling me about someone and all the things that had happened within like a certain retreat or whatever. I believe, you know, this was a conversation between you and I. And I was just baffled by a lot of the things that can happen within the retreat spaces of people wanting to have these healings. But, you know, in my mind, I'm always like, how does someone allow this to happen? How does someone allow this to happen? And I think what you said, Lauren, is exactly how these things happen, how not all the time, but how a lot of these people are taken advantage of, because we are not starting small. We are not starting with a safe and actually feeling ourselves in our body. One, we're looking and we're giving up our autonomy a little bit, because for some odd reason, sometimes we look to other people to heal what we can heal ourselves. Now, do we need guidance? Absolutely. Do we need sometimes a coach or whatever? Yes. But, you know, if someone is suggesting that you go straight into like a sexual aspect and you know you have a little unhealed trauma, like know that they don't know where you are and where you're coming from. And you have to feel that, like you said, Lauren, like that sense of safety. I know for me, like I've had things happen. I didn't even know that there was this whole side to like sexuality within the spirituality space, because that was just not my cup of tea. And I know how I feel within my body. I could not put myself in that type of situation yet, because I would not feel safe at all. But someone might think that that's the only path to make them feel whole. So, you know, I think it's real. I do believe people mean well. People start off meaning very well and wanting to heal and help. But I do think sometimes like teachers and guides, they might lose track. And they think they might be helping you or needing to push you. But I think you know your body and you know who you are and yourself, and you have to like start with a small baby steps to lead to something like big like that. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think it's like a cult-like mentality to jump into like a highly sexualized coaching container or spiritual community where they're using that for like quote-unquote healing. I don't know. To me, that's just always a red flag, and I'm not anti-sex or sexuality in any way. But I am anti like putting people into situations that are uncomfortable or unethical. We're like people, and I'll be like more clear. So if you want to learn more about this, there's a podcast episode from Love and Light Confessionals about like the dark side of the coaching world. And she talks about different coaches who like encourage people to be nude on camera for Zoom calls. And they're like kind of feminine empowerment type coaches, which pisses me off because I consider myself like kind of in the same sphere, you know, but like definitely
not that,
not that. Not that. Yeah. And, or like doing sexual acts at a retreat or something like that. And like not even revealing that that's going to happen. And, I just feel like sickened about a lot of the things that have happened. And yeah, it's not been really in my sphere or realm either. So I hear about these things and I'm like, what the F?
Yeah.
And like in my initial yoga training, like one of the most important things we learned about were boundaries and like to not, we call it like leaky energy, to not leak your energy onto your students. So like if you are having a lot of sexual energy, for instance, like you have to channel that or deal with that before like having the honor of having students within your space, you know what I mean? So that you're not putting that on anybody else. And so like, that's where I am coming from. And at the same time in the yoga world, there have been a lot of like very famous teachers who end up taking advantage of students because they get in that position of power and they think they know best and they feel like they can take what they want.
Well, it's one of those things too, Lauren, like, yes, we are in the spiritual space and spirituality, but I think to ground level everything, like we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And no one is above anything. And I think sometimes when we come into this space, people may forget that not everyone is love and light, and not everyone has your best interest at heart. And that's why spirituality is a very personal journey. And like you said, and developing those boundaries and knowing what is good to you, because someone can heal so much from one of these experiences, Lauren, but it's not for everybody as well.
Yeah.
And like, if we really think about it, like the sacral chakra, like sensuality, it's associated with sexuality, mm-hmm. but it's not just that. It's like, you know, having a gratification or a gratitude for your senses mm-hmm. is really what sensuality is. Sexuality is within that sphere. But, you know, when we think about being sensual, it doesn't necessarily have to be sex. And I think sometimes that gets confused and that line gets crossed all the time.
Yeah.
Because I can have a sensual experience with my kid. You know, mm-hmm. not like, you know, with strawberries or like blueberries yeah. or like, you know, it's not sexual. Mm-hmm. And I also think because of like the society that we're in, it gets blurred. You know, you can have someone who's a very sensual woman, but oh, why is she being so sexual? And it's her fault that these men are doing this and that or whomever, or the other way around as well. You know what I mean? But getting clear on what this actually means and what yeah. it is you're actually seeking.
Yeah. And for me, when it comes to like the sexuality aspect within the sacral and within all of us, like for me to own my sexuality, meaning like I get to decide what feels good and what doesn't. I get to decide how much I share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I get to decide what turns me on and what doesn't, or to acknowledge what turns me on and doesn't. Like, it's mine and mine alone, and I don't have to share it. I don't have to feel comfortable in a group experience, like exploring that. Like, in fact, I probably won't, and there's nothing wrong with that. And like, while we all own our own sexuality, we also have to be conscious of others. Like, what am I? I'm not going to leak my sexuality onto others in a way that mm-hmm. is unwelcome or non-consensual. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
I feel that so much. Yeah.
It's such a like weird conversation to have now. Cause like, it's weird to think about like being in person with somebody and leaking that sexy energy on them, or at least it is for me, although I know it happens all the time in life. But like, I think even online, like what are you putting out there and like what is owning it and what is like, what's commodifying? I don't know. These are like unformed thoughts. So
no, but I think this is it. Well, it's one of those things too. Like you're thinking of it for a reason, and someone might be able to pick up that thought and like, you know, fully form everything that you're trying to convey. But I actually think that you are right. In the online space, it's very funny. Like I know some people personally, and what they come across online as far as like sensuality or being embodied or whatever is a completely different than what they are in person. And so for me, sometimes it's almost like, are you just like showing yourself like this for follows and for likes? And this is not like truly what you are about. Because like you said, I feel like you do have to own it and not commodify it. So
yeah,
I never thought about that, but yeah.
It's weird. Like personally, I'm not against like sex work or anything like that. And that's commodifying sex, you know, but at the same time, like there's a boundary around that. Like this is an exchange that I'm making very clear. Whereas I think there's a lot of like unclear kind of.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I feel like there is a need for it. Like, I think sex is one of those things that has a lot of shame around it, doesn't get talked about. Like, and so when people do commodify it, it's this like shiny thing. However, I do believe that, you know, sex coaches or sex guides, they are needed, but they are needed for the people that are ready for them. And then also to like going back to like a bigger setting and a bigger space. I know that's like a completely different thing, but I feel as if like these people are needed within a certain lane.
Well, like a therapist?
Know your lane, right?
Huh? Are you a sex therapist? Like,
yeah.
Do you know how to do you know how to help people with their sexuality without leaking your shit all over them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's so hard, Lauren. I know we were talking about this before, and this is going to be a totally different episode, mm-hmm. but just like when it comes to like coaches and guides and all the things, mm-hmm. like how trained are you? Like what makes you the expert? Like what experience do you have in navigating this? And so, yeah, you just have to use caution and be careful.
Yeah.
Always.
Discernment.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move us on.
Yeah. Let's go.
Thank you, listener, for
allowing us to talk into that. Yeah.
This third one I really love. It's create something just for the sake of creating. So this is another thing. Like, I think part of living in 2023 in this social media world is that we feel we need to like commodify every single creation that we have, when in fact it's fine to paint, to draw, to sing, to do your makeup, to write a poem in a way that's like not really meant to be shared with anybody else, and there's no end goal in mind. Like, let's create just for creativity's sake. So if I'm in a funk, that might mean I'm sitting down with my daughter and playing Play-Doh, and I'm not trying to make like an awesome sculpture or anything like that. I'm just having fun playing Play-Doh or coloring with her or painting with her, or maybe I write something never to be read again. So this one I really love. Like, this just gets things flowing without the pressure.
Yeah. And it reminds me, I made a post inside my other online community that I'm a part of. And it was really about, I had just finished a two book series. And I was just remembering like, oh my gosh, like crying with my characters, feeling for them, all the things, right? Like I was listening to it on Audible. So I was mm-hmm. crying for like 20 minutes straight as I'm like going to get the kids. And I just remembered like, this feels so good. I think sometimes when we get into the space, you know, we have our spiritual awakenings and we want to know all the things, and we, you know, really get into personal development, and we're just really trying to grow. Sometimes we lose sight of like, what does our soul really like? What do we really like, you know? And for me, it's falling into an epic and getting to know these characters and these mythical worlds and learning, you know, a different type of, you know, magic that someone's bringing forth, or, you know, just learning someone else's world that they've created within their own minds. And when I was looking back at my Audible, you know, I was like not feeling any of the books that I had downloaded and I'd had. I'm like, no. And it was kind of depressing almost. It was like, this doesn't feel good to me. And so that's when I, you know, went on the hunt for another, and I was going to read another book that I'd read multiple times. And I'm like, you know what? You need something new. You need something fresh. And something like that as well brings you pleasure. And, you know, in a way it allows you to get a little creative as well, I think, because it just refreshes your spirit. You're not just learning and intaking, and it's not just factual, unless that's your thing. It's not mine, but, you know, I love the sci-fi. I love the science. I love, you know, all of these different worlds. And when we lose sight of that part of ourselves, it can really have a negative effect on that pleasure center as well. So I think that goes hand in hand, Lauren, with the creativity. And yeah, like not doing things just to put on a show. Like when I was in the personal development space and like really doing my workouts and all the things, I got to the point where I was like putting it in my stories every day. And it got to the point like it felt like a headache. And I wasn't doing it for me anymore. And that's when I realized, okay, let's chill out. Like, we don't need to do this every single time. Let this space be for you. Let this workout be for you. Let you feel good about this and not trying to put it out to someone else as well. So yeah, I think sometimes we can lose sight of that in this world that we live in, because it is about social media. It is about putting something out. It is about making money. And I think social media has a really good way of making us feel like we have to do that. But, you know, we don't, not really.
Yeah, I love that you added that aspect of like, it's not only about creating, it's about like taking in art and literature and things that are just pleasure for pleasure's sake. And I'm the same way. Like, I'll be honest, I don't even really like reading self-development books that much. Like, I'll buy them and I'll read parts of them, but like, it's hard for me to like actually
get through it.
Yeah. And it just depends too. Like, for me, like Rebecca Campbell's books, for instance, are like, they're self-development in a way, but they're more spiritual and mysterious, and they sound like poetry to me. So like, I can listen to that or read that. But yeah, the like how to blah, 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 I just might skim. And that's why I wrote my book the way that I did, in like small chunks rather than like one. I don't know. It's just different than a regular like self-development book. And I don't even know if I would call it that necessarily, but I'm like, okay.
I mean, I guess technically if you had to categorize it, it would be, but yeah, it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. And it's meant to be like taken in micro, micro chunks. And, I don't know, the word chunk is like, sounds weird to me right now. Anyway, like chunk, you know, when you say a word and like just
all of a sudden it just sounds like weird. You're like, am I saying this word right? Yeah. Can I spell this word right? Yeah. Have you had that happen? Okay. Yeah,
I would much rather read or listen to something like entertaining than, how to be spiritual 101.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like there are some books that are amazing and they are in the spirituality space. I remember I was looking for a spirituality book that was like nonfiction and all the things. And I found an author. I'm not even going to say the name. I was listening to the audiobook because I'm in the car most of the time. That's when I can listen the most. And the narration was horrible and the story was slow. And I was just like, I'm so disappointed by this. And I'm like, this is just not for me. Like, I have to go to my epics and I have to go to my, I'm sorry, I love vampires and werewolves and like demons and all the things. Like, that's just what I grew up with. That's what I like. I have a lot of authors that I've been listening to since I was 14, or reading and listening to since I was 14. And that is okay for me. I will listen to a self-help book, but I have to take it in little chunks. Like, I have to start it, maybe take 20 minutes and then listen to something that I really enjoy. And I have to be okay with that. I used to think that there was something wrong with me. And, you know, there's not. There's not. I just, this is what fills me up. And that's okay.
Yeah, I've probably read 15 to 20 books about witches this year alone. So I'm with you. That's been my thing. But yeah, I love fantasy too. But like, for some reason, I've just been like taking in witch book after witch book. And it's been awesome.
Well, they say it's a season. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, like, witches when I read, I don't want to like, I'm ready to just like go into a story. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you want to like lose yourself in that. Like, yeah, I said, exactly. I, you know, the fact that this book that it was two books, it was great. It was mythical and fantastic. It was like Chinese mythology based, mm-hmm. which was new for me. And I was crying. Like, I'm usually like a big love story type of person, but it was like a very soft love story. Like, nothing sexual happened, you know, very like PG type of stuff, but the story around it and the sacrifices and all the things like that, all of that, like seeing what somebody might do, how they might, like, you know, persevere and get through, like that brings me pleasure. That really like makes me feel so good. And it's, and I will read a self-help book, but a self-help book does not evoke that type of pleasure within me. And so I go back to what I know and what I love. And I think that that is my own form of self-help, actually.
I love that. All right. Next one. We probably don't need to go too deep into, I don't know how this is going to line up in our podcast episodes, but we either already aired one about this or it will be coming up soon, which is tracking your moon cycle or the moon cycle or your menstrual cycle, either or. So if you don't have a menstrual cycle, the moon cycle is great to track as well, to align your energy with nature. So this is like really getting to know the different phases of the moon or your body and then leaning into that. And I really, really love the Stardust app for this. And for anyone who's like, I know there's some controversy around period apps right now of them like selling your information or potentially putting you in an unsafe position with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, that sort of thing. This one is encrypted and they keep your information private. And it's just so much fun. Do you use Stardust?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before.
Okay, cool. It is. Yeah, it's so good. It tells
I love
you,
little
like,
notifications it sends me.
I do too. It's like, you probably feel like punching someone in the face today. And I'm like, huh, I do, Stardust. I do. You're right. Just kidding. I don't really feel like punching people in the face. But it's just funny how it always has like quippy, funny little notifications about where you're at in your cycle. And it has so many pieces of advice and it tells you what kind of witch you are. And I just love it.
It's really nice.
It's been such a game changer for me to really understand what's going on. Instead of just being like, why am I so weird today? Why am I feeling like this? I'm like, oh, because these hormones are happening in my body and, you know, it's totally normal. And this is how I support that. And this is how
yeah,
I
it literally it. Gives how, you like,
yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
I love it so much. I had mine today. It was like, oh, you know, you might be having some digestive issues because of your progesterone, you know, hormones. And so avoid carbonation and all the things. And I'm like, you know what? That's water. It is water all day today. Absolutely. So it's really cool. But yeah, we're going to have a whole episode on this. And I think it's worth having a whole episode because it's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, it's such a game changer and it helps make your cycle like a superpower rather than an impediment in your life and not just tracking it, but yeah, really understanding it. And like it, as femmes or people born with like female bodies who have periods, like to like really see how it aligns with the moon and to see how, like how our bodies are such a part of nature. Like it's such a healing thing rather than like, I think in a patriarchal society where we're expected to be one specific way all the time, our hormones just don't work like that. So it can feel like we're broken or the period is something to like ignore or even to like get rid of entirely when in fact it can be something that's an asset. So for me, that's such a huge part of the sacral energy.
Absolutely. It's a game changer. And, you know, we're going to go into this more, but really, I like what you said about how in society, it looks to be a good thing to not have one. And I remember that was me. I was like, I don't have a period. This is amazing. I have this thing shoved up my uterus and it's great. It's cool. You know, and now it's just a completely different beast. You're more in touch with yourself. You're more I don't know, you're just more knowing and understanding this part of you. So
yeah, it's very cool. So I'll move on since we have a whole episode devoted to that. The next is, and we talk about this a lot, but it's just feel your emotions. So, you know, a lot of times when we're in a funk, we might be feeling emotions a lot, or we might be shoving them down. But it's like when we don't see them through in a way, that's when they get either keep cycling, or they get stuck. So it might be something like just sitting down and like allowing yourself to feel them until they go away, because they don't actually last all that long when you do a practice like that. Maybe they surface and you need to cry. You know, crying is an embodiment practice. Maybe it's we need to laugh. Maybe we need to talk to a friend and get it all out, or talk to a therapist and get it all out. Maybe we need to go scream into a pillow. That's one of my favorites lately when I get too overwhelmed, is screaming into a pillow. It's something I used to do as a kid, and I kind of forgot about it until recently. Yeah, so just allowing them to be acknowledged and felt, because the emotions are such a big part of this chakra.
Yeah, and they, you know, when you think about, I don't know, when I think of emotions, I think of, in a way, it's like our soul communicating with us, allowing us to know how we are, if we're on path, if we're not, if we need to make some shifts or changes. And if you are always like tamping them down, you are literally saying no to yourself. Mm-hmm. You are literally not listening to your inner guidance. And so when I've rethought about like my emotions in that way, when I feel something, maybe it's something that I don't want to feel. Maybe I'm angry about something that I'm like, why am I angry about this? I still feel angry. I allow myself to be angry. And then I get to look at it and examine it for what it's trying to tell me, you know? So I think that's one of my, me personally, I feel that's one of my connections with my soul, and my soul allowing me to like guide my body and telling me if I'm, you know, if I need to shift or change or go off track, or I'm exactly where I need to be. It's just, you know, however you feel, like your emotions are meant to serve you. They are meant to serve you. And if you are not allowing them to come forth and come through, you are just doing yourself a disservice. And then all the parents out there who are listening, like, it's one of those things, it's something that we really have to, you know, teach our kiddos and be aware with our kiddos as well. Because I know growing up for me, Lauren, I was told to be quiet. I'm a child. My opinions don't matter. What I'm feeling doesn't matter. Why am I feeling that way? Why am I crying? And, you know, before I, with Macy, I would get very frustrated because she was always crying. She's always whining. And sometimes I don't always do a 100% good job at helping her through that. But that's also me still learning from how I grew up. And I have to tell myself, you know, why is she frustrated in this moment? Or why is she crying in this moment? And not getting mad that she is, not getting frustrated or angry that she is, not making it an inconvenience that she is, but like really allowing her to feel the things that she feels. And I say that, she'll say, I'm angry. And I'll say, it's okay, girl. You know, you're allowed to be angry. Tell me why you're angry. And then, you know, we go into it from there, but it's the same exact thing. Like when we grow up feeling like we have to put on a face or a mask and not like really truly feel what we're feeling, we have to unlearn all of that and like retrain ourselves. And so I know as parents as well, it's equally hard to navigate these things and these emotions. But, you know, Lauren, like you said, with the practices, even screaming into the pillow or punching the pillow, I tire myself out when I do that, but it feels so good. It feels so good. That it just allows, it just, the energy just moves through you. Yeah. And it just feels so good.
I think that's important to acknowledge. And for our kiddos too, it's like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any emotion. They're simply information. right? Your mm-hmm. information for us. It's what we do with that that's really important, right? So I think ironically, when we are acting out of emotions, a lot of times it's when we're least in touch with them. So it's like we just get overwhelmed and then maybe put it off on somebody else. So I'm really angry. I'm going to yell at my husband, right? Or at my kid or something like that. When in fact, like when we actually allow ourselves to feel them and then we get them out in a healthy way, then we have a pause before we like deal with our lives. That's when we're being mature adults, right? And that's something that we can model for our kids. Like, it's totally fine to feel this way. This is how we deal with it. And then we can have a calm conversation with our nervous systems regulated.
Yes. You know, it's so funny. Daniel used to do this when we were dating. And I would be the one, no, we need to hash this out now. We need to talk about this because we're not going our separate ways until we figure this out. And he's like, Rashida, I need a moment. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like now I completely see and understand what he was doing and why he was doing it and not wanting to like blow up or anything like that. And not that we had conversations like that often, but it's funny. Like he didn't have any training or anything. He just knew exactly what his body needed. And, I just think it's so cool that he like knew that within himself, whereas me or any of us who want to get things done now, we like have to, okay, let's take a beat. Let's work through this. Let's feel this. Let's work through it. And you know what? Honestly, anytime that I've ever, especially now, have done that, I think I shared with you before, Lauren, like we had a conversation a while ago and, you know, emotions were very high. You know, we had to take a beat and then we had to come into an intentional space together to like really allow what we were trying to say and feel and convey to each other to come through. And, you know, that's why I also feel like intentionality is like one of the best things you can do in a relationship, any relationship with your kids or your partner. But in order to be intentional, you know, you have to come from a space of groundedness as well. So allowing those emotions to come through, to come to that space.
I love it. All right, last one, number six. This is a fun one. It's shake your booty.
Yeah.
Gemma just started shaking her booty. Shake your booty, shake your booty. Or we say shake your diaper. Her booty. Yeah. she likes to look at it and then like give it a little shake.
A little shake. Macy does that. We have a mirror.
And I love this one. It's just about like freeing up the energy in this space. So it might be like hip circles or something like that, where it might be like twerking or just shaking your butt. But it's freeing your hips, letting your pelvis move, and relaxing the pelvic floor. So a lot of times, like, we talk about Kegels and strengthening the pelvic floor, but we got to let that thing relax too. And that's a sign of a relaxed nervous system. So just letting it breathe. It's supposed to be like a nice little flexible trampoline, and the shaking really helps with that. That helps like free up that fun, like feminine energy, and dancing just feels good too.
Yeah. And I'll say too, when you start like really working with your hips and like really feeling that space, it might feel off at first if you're not used to moving it in that way or twerking or anything like that. You know, I would encourage anyone listening like to stick with it, and like, cause you're sore. Even like, I did a Qigong practice a little while ago, and you know, you're talking about shaking, but she had us like just drop our heels down. We would come up on our tiptoes and drop our heels, and just feeling like the bounce, even though it was in my whole body, I was really like focused in on my sacral area. It felt so, so good. So absolutely, twerk sessions. Put a little Cardi B on or Nicki Minaj or whatever you like and get that peach popping.
I think that's a good place to wrap up today.
Yeah, of course. I love it. Well, Lauren, thank you so much. This was like just a really good reminder and a really good starting place for us to, you know, figure out, you know, we've tackled our root. What is another area when we feel like we're in this funk, and having this to go back through and just like kind of just touch base in each of these areas can really help, you know, free up some of that maybe stagnant or blocked space, and just check in and see exactly what we're needing.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for all the beautiful things that you had to add, especially go out there and pop your peach. That really touched me today.
Well, you are so welcome. I love you so much. And I know we will chat soon.
Yes. Bye, besties.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.